Good to see each of you this morning. Those of you who are visiting with us, always welcome. And we are certainly proud, glad that you're here. Give us just a little while after services that we might get to know you better. And by the way, don't forget, we got a luncheon going on afterwards just across the way, so we want to see you over there as well. My lesson this morning is going to be brought from some of the things, or one of the main things, that Paul was talking about his life, found in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He said, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes." And if I figured that out right, that's 195 licks across the back. Can you imagine what Paul's back must have looked like? 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Now, I've never been beaten with rods, a peach limb every once in a while. But the rods that they were talking about were cane rods. Your clothing would be pulled from your back, and those cane rods would be administered. There's no telling how Paul's back, legs, must have looked. He had been beaten half to death for a long time. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I suffered a shipwreck. 1 night and a day I've been in the deep. He goes on and tells us of many of the struggles that he had, not only out in the country, but in the city, in the waters, and on the dry land. I want to back up just a little bit and find the first time that we're introduced to this man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul the Apostle. If you go back to the 7th chapter of the book of Acts and look at verse 58, you will find the very first time that Paul is mentioned in the Scripture. And it had to do with the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And the record tells us that they were stoning Stephen to death, who was saying, "Lord God, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he said that, he fell asleep. Now, those that were stoning Stephen to death lay their coats down at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul, who was consenting to his death. We will learn that Paul had absolute authority, it seems, over the life and death of Christians at that particular time. It looked as though they had given Paul the authority to go various places and to destroy the church. That's what was going on. How old he was, we do not know. We do understand, however, that in all probability, when it says a young man in the Old Testament, usually around 40 years of age. So I'd say 38, 40, somewhere in that age, is how old Paul was. But he had received great authority. And then in the 8th chapter, the next few verses, in fact, verse 3, the Bible tells us about great persecution that was breaking out against the church. And that as for Saul, he was entering into every house and capturing or arresting men and women who were Christians. And then in verse 4, it says the church was scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. In the next chapter, chapter 9, it said Paul had secured letters from the leaders of the Jewish people and was on his way to Damascus, where he had heard that there were a number of Christians gathered together. He was going there to arrest them and cause them to be put to death, if it be possible. Great havoc he was bringing out on the church. But the Bible tells us in the 9th chapter that as he went on his journey, the Lord arrested him and stopped him. I am frank to tell you, folks, that the great thing that Paul was doing against the church, if the Lord had not interceded, there's no way of knowing the great hurt that Paul would have put upon the early church. And he was doing it. But the Bible tells us that this great light shined round about him. He was humbled. "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." It's hard for you, isn't it, to kick against the pricks. That simply means that evidently Paul's conscience was getting to him already. Because he was witnessing the death of people who were saying, "Lord, don't lay it to their charge." So it got to him. Jesus said, "It's been hard for you to kick against the pricks, hadn't it? Lord, what do I need to do to be a Christian? What do I need to do? You go into the city, Saul, and it'll be told you what you must do." He gets up. His men who are with him, now he's blinded because of the great light, they lead him into the city of Damascus. He is now on his knees. He is praying with all his might. "Oh God, I want salvation." The Lord appears to Ananias. Paul had been doing this 3 days. He appears to Ananias, gospel preacher. "Ananias, I want you to go over into the street here called Straight and inquire in that house, the house of Judas. There's a man there by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He wants to know what to do to be saved." Now, Lord, listen to Ananias. "Lord, don't you know what kind of man this is? He's the one that's been giving us more trouble than anyone else." "Go thy way, Ananias. I am going to show him what great things he must suffer for my sake." That's Acts 9, verse 16. Now, if you want to know why Paul is writing like he is in 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12, he is telling us that those predictions that Jesus gave about me has come to pass. Stripes far above measure. In journeys often. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. Now, we got one record of Paul's shipwreck, but we don't have the other two. I don't know when that happened. But he said, "I was shipwrecked 3 times. Now, folks, if you're like I am, if you don't know what's out there, go ahead and get on the internet and pull up the creatures of the deep. And if you happen to fall out of a ship sometime, you better hope they throw you a life preserver right quick and get you out. There's things out there, man, that will make mincemeat of you in a minute. Paul said, "I was bobbing up and down in the water day and a night." Whew, not me, Paul. Jeannie used to say, "Come on, Danny, come on out in the water." I say, "You can stay out there. I'm not coming." "No, no, don't like the ocean." "Oh, it's beautiful. I know it has its purpose. But that's for those creatures. I'm going to stay on dry land, thank you." Paul said, "I was shipwrecked 3 times. Okay? Oh, isn't that a beautiful picture? Now, my little secretary does that for me. See, what I'm going to talk to you about is what Paul said there in that 25th verse when Paul made the statement, shipwrecked. So I want to use it for our lesson today, how we make shipwreck of the faith. The word shipwreck is found twice in the New Testament. It is used literally That's in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. And it happened when Paul had been arrested, remember, at Jerusalem. He appealed his case under Caesar, and he's on his journey now. They put him aboard ship. He's on his journey to Rome to appeal before Caesar. The record tells us that they encountered a tremendous storm. The vessel was tossed here and there, and for about 2 weeks they were bouncing forth and thought they would not survive. But the record tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared unto Paul and said, as long as everyone stays aboard this ship, then all will be preserved. Paul told the captain. The captain said, you told me not to take this vessel, and I went against your word then. I'm not going against it now. Some guys had let down a little boat beside to get in the water and get away from this big old ship. And the captain said, cut that thing loose. And they cut it loose, and it went away. Everyone stayed aboard the ship. They come to a little isle called Malta. And this ship is wrecked into a sandbar there. And the fact is that the waves were beating so bad on the ship, it tore the ship all to pieces. But they, every one of them, were able to get off that ship and get to shore. And there were 276 of them. And they did as Paul said, and they all survived. And that's that shipwreck. So in the Bible, you will find literal shipwreck. And that's what Paul is talking about in the 27th chapter. And he said, I had two other times that I was shipwrecked. But the term shipwreck is also used in a figurative sense to say what happens to people's faith in God. They can make a shipwreck of it. You know, if you look and see what that means to die, to depart, to be torn apart, to sever a relationship that we should have with the Almighty and desire to have. See? That's making shipwreck of your faith. So the Bible talks about it. For instance, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19, Paul encouraged Timothy. He said, son, I want you to hold strong in the faith and of a pure conscience, because some have not, and they have made shipwreck of the faith. And he says, these individuals whom I'm talking about is a man by the name of Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom have been committed unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You see what happens? We either with Christ or we against him. And if we give up the faith like did Hymenaeus and Alexander, then the only other place to go is Satan. And that's what Paul said in this particular section of Scripture. In Ephesians 1 and verse 13, he says that the Word of God is the power of salvation. Paul says that in Romans 1:16 as well. 2 Timothy 2:15 through 18 is a very powerful, moving Scripture. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Shun profane babblings of men, for they will wax worse and worse. They will deceive and will continue to be deceived. It'll be like a cancer, he uses, that eats away and devours, like has happened to Hymenaeus and Philetus, who are now teaching. Listen, whenever we make shipwreck means we leave the Word of God. They are teaching that the resurrection has already passed, and they have caused some to make shipwreck already of their faith. So you see, folks, when we leave the Word of God, when we leave the Word of righteousness, When we leave what we know is right and we go after these philosophies and theories and ideas of men, people who in their slick suits and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And why is it so? Because the devil is real. I will approach it from that standpoint tonight. But I tell you, we are in a serious condition, not only in our country, but around the world. The devil knows he only has a short period of time, and he's doing everything he can to destroy the faith. And by the way, he's doing a good job at it. We're going to see more of that tonight. Literally, figuratively is what we'll talk about. How does one depart from the faith? How do you do it? Believing. How many of you have been like myself who will say, I wonder where Joe is? Or I wonder where Susan is. Have you? Do you miss someone that at one time was faithful in their attendance with you? And you wonder what happened to them? Where did they go? One way to make shipwreck of the faith to depart is just to get up and leave. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. The Spirit speaks in the latter days there will be those who will depart from the faith. Give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, have their conscience seared as with a hot iron. They don't feel it anymore. They've left. 2 Timothy or Acts 20, 28 through 30. Paul said, you feed, talking to the elders, you feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in among the flock, not sparing the flock. And from your own selves, there will be some who will arise, teaching perverse things and draw disciples away after them. Y'all hear that? So from among the leadership, preachers, elders, deacons, those who should be teaching the word, what do they do sometimes? They cause division and people are pulled away. That's what Paul said. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the apostle Peter makes it very clear. And many will follow the pernicious ways. Some people just leave. Then there's this lukewarm thing. Y'all have read about that, right? What does that mean? That means that a person may not leave, but they just lukewarm. Don't stand for anything. One thing's as good as another. Hey, why don't we try that? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do... Why, the Lord won't mind. You've heard that over and over, right? Lukewarm. Jesus wrote to the church, Laodicea, what has happened to you? Your love for me was strong, but it's not any longer. What's going on? You've fallen out of love with me? You're going around saying you don't need anything. You got it made. Don't you know that you're poor, blind, and naked? That's how the Lord described it. Oh, Matthew 12, 30, you know what that says? You're either with me or you're against me. Some folks don't want to stand up. They don't want to be strong. They don't want... Hey, look, if I were to do that, I'd lose some of my friends. You've heard that, haven't you? I want to be well-liked. We got preachers who are afraid to get up in the pulpit and say what I'm saying this morning because they want to be liked. Liked by whom? Me personally, I want to be approved by the Lord. Now, whether you like me or not, I can't help it. I want you to. I want to love you and I want you to love me. But I'm going to tell it just like it is. Some folks are lukewarm. You ever drink lukewarm coffee? Ooh. No wonder the Lord said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I can't stand the taste of it. See? Ah, the Lord, boy, He really put it out there, didn't He? Number three, forsaking the assembly. Again, that's like leaving, but it's people who periodically. The Lord needs to count on you. He wants you here. You know what? Your being here encourages me to no end. And I hope that I can encourage you. We need to encourage each other. So that's what the Scripture says. Now, if on the first day of the week, the brothers come together, brothers and sisters, and they take the Lord's Supper, just like we did a few moments ago. 1 Corinthians 14:23, he talks about the time when the whole church comes together. Say, folks, you may not be aware of the fact that there are some churches now that are having individual assemblies. And by that I mean, one group meets over yonder and another group meets over there. What about these verses when the Scripture says the whole church comes together? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Failure to grow in Christ. Don't add to Christian graces, 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And on, you've heard the verses over and over. Peter said in 2 Peter 2:20, those who go away, who forsake the Lord, who turn back, it's like a dog returning to vomit. Now, you think old Dan is strong? Listen to this. It's like a dog returning to the vomit and a sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Inspiration said that. Peter said that's how we would be if we forsake the Lord. Right? All right, I know my time's about up. What can help me? What will help me? And I'll just run through that. Number one, realize that temptation is real. And that the devil is real. And he's doing everything he can to keep you and your loved ones from the assembly. And my loved ones. I've got the same problem everyone else does. We all have family members who hurt us. And we would die for them. But this is one thing we can't do. They have to decide whether they're going to be faithful to the Lord or not. Realize temptation is real. It's out there. Everywhere you look and everywhere I look, something to keep me from the Lord. Number two, ask for God's help. Pray. Heavenly Father, help me. I am weak. I am in need of You. Help me, Father, to grow and to be nurtured up. Spend time with the Bible. Study the book. Have knowledge of Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Be active. Say, in Matthew 25, 21 through 23, that's the last verse I have here. It's a judgment scene. And the Lord makes a statement. One guy was given 5 talents, another 3 or 2, and another 1. We remember that. The first 2 used their talents for the Lord. And you know what the Lord said? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Well done. What about the guy that didn't use what God gave him? Well, that's found in the latter part of the chapter. Depart from me, I don't know you. Now, is it serious? Is it serious enough to get my attention? To say every time a door is open, I want to be there. Everything I can do for the body of Christ, I want to do. Is it that serious? I believe it is. And I think you do too. And God bless each and every one of you for being here this morning. Encourage those who are not here. Say, we missed you. We love you. We want you to be with us. If you are subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ this morning, then we encourage you to come to Him before it is everlasting too late. You believe with all your heart He is Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for you. Then acknowledge it. Let it be known. Say, I do believe that He's the Son of God. I want Him as my Savior. Repent of your sins. And then be buried with Him in baptism. Be raised to walk a new life. It may be that you obeyed your Lord, but you went back. Just like we've been talking about this morning. You come home. Just arise, come on home. Let's pray together. But from this moment forward, Lord, help me. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do Thy will, Father, and it'll come first before anything else. So I encourage you this morning, if you'd like to place membership with us and work and grow with us here, we want you to come. While together we stand and sing.